You're listening to episode 132 of the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we talk about red flags and why we ignore them. Welcome to the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we explore how to use the science of psychology, Eastern spiritual practices like mindfulness and compassion, and the game-changing work of self-coaching so you can free your mind and free your life. I'm your host, Anna Verzoni. Hey, hey, humans, how are you? Okay, today we're going to talk about red flags, which I know many of y'all are excited about. But first, I just have to say, I've recently got back from my retreat and where I was a participant. And I remembered a practice that I haven't done in a while, and that's the forgiveness practice. There's a practice common in the insight tradition where the teachers at the end of a retreat apologize for any ways they may have hurt people, even unintentionally, and ask for forgiveness. Not necessarily forgiveness right now, but when it feels right. And on this episode, I'm not going to go into why that was particularly important on this retreat. I'll probably do that on a future one because I think it deserves its own space. But I do want to be increasingly aware of the ways I may cause harm unintentionally. And I thought about all the ways I may have hurt people unintentionally. And I think about my early episodes here from years ago, and I'm like, wow, I wonder what stupid shit I said that I didn't even know was hurtful. Because I know I've done this forgiveness practice on this podcast before, but it's been a minute. So I want to take a moment, as is a practice in the insight tradition, to apologize for all the ways I may have hurt you unintentionally in my words, thoughts, and actions. And I also ask that when it feels right, that you please forgive me. And I mean this so sincerely, not to pretend intention's everything, but to acknowledge that there is impact for every action we take and that I'm not perfect. So I'm sorry if I've hurt you in any way. Okay, my friends. All right. So as you know, I've been learning a lot about myself through my relationships, especially intimate relationships. And one of those things I've learned was how I've disregarded red flags in the past. Things that should have caused me to pause and say, hey, let's investigate this further. Let's talk about this because this doesn't feel right. And I have some compassion for myself because I and many of us have had a history where we didn't even have boundaries or they were constantly violated in our primary relationships or were made unclear and confusing, especially if we've been in an abusive relationship. And when this is the case and we lack effective boundaries, we really get enmeshed, right? And we don't understand where we begin and the other person begins. And a lot of this is happening in our early childhood, right? So it becomes a huge part of our development. So it makes sense that when we see red flags, there's a huge contingent of us that are like, oh, wait, did you see that? What was that? Oh, never mind. Let's get back to how sexy the potential of this person is, right? And I know that speaking for myself, this happened so often in the past. I'd see red flags and just ignore them. I had a partner that took forever to start telling other people they were in a relationship. I had another that had to pound at least a couple shots of whiskey before we ever went out. Another left me alone when we were in Europe together in his racist relative's apartment who complained that I was a Filipina. And I was deathly ill with food poisoning. And he like came in once a day, like before he would go out and party the rest of the day. There was the one time that this guy would hide his phone when I walked into the room, right? Quickly put it away. And then there was the one who had scratch marks on his back, like from human hands. I mean, I'm not even going to go there with that one. And some of us may have had a partner who was suddenly emotionally labile or verbally abusive, Or maybe you've been with someone who grabbed you firmly, or your best friend's ass firmly, which my friend's boyfriend did to me. And when I told her about it, she believed that he thought it was her, even though she's blonde and half my size, right? Or maybe you find women's clothing in the laundry. And yes, managed to write that off too. So when red flags start to surface or appear in your dynamic, I'm not saying it's time to like get the fuck out of Dodge, but it can be a moment of reassessment, a time to take a step back and reflect, maybe even talk about it. And it's also really important that we ask ourselves, am I in a place where I can stay connected to my truth and my values and my integrity right now? Am I in alignment right now? Because when we're not, this is often when the red flags get ignored, right? We're like, wait, I noticed something. But since I'm not connected to myself and my truth, I guess I'm going to ignore that, since it's so much easier to just dream about how awesome this is going to be once everything is cleaned up, right? We see a boundary of ours like a non-negotiable getting violated or challenged, and we're like, ah, fuck it, I'll just ignore it this once, right? But that one time is the moment. So we see the red flag, and then we actually make a conscious decision in that moment to ignore it and move forward anyway. And guess what? Now we've got ourselves in a relationship built on unhealthy bonds and unhealthy attachment. And this is where we start seeing toxic relationships or codependency or other dysfunctions further down the line. And we find ourselves a few months or a few years down the line, and we're stuck in a kind of holding pattern, right? Same arguments, same old shit, same ways of hurting one another and not understanding, not hearing, and not listening. I mean, I remember in my relationship, one of our common arguments was he'd think he was gone for way less than he was, and I didn't have a microchip in him or something, so I'd have to like pull out the calendar and show him the day he left and the day he came back. And even then, he'd think, oh, you must have gotten the dates wrong. And I was like, oh my goddess, I'm so tired of this same fucking argument with you, trying to convince me you're here more than you are, right? But the real point was that that wasn't even the thing, right? I'll go more into what the thing really was in a bit, but we ignore red flags and then we enter into these unhealthy patterns. And we pass time, sometimes lots of time in this relationship with like many dysfunctions with someone who likely perhaps lacks the emotional intelligence to support a healthy relationship dynamic. And we finally wake up to how toxic it is or how unhappy we are. And we decide, okay, now I'm ready, I'm out. But then it's really hard to actually do it, even if it's a place of so much suffering for us. And we're like, why is it so hard when this is clearly messed up? Well, think about one of the most common phrases we hear when it comes to this scenario. It's, I've lost myself in the relationship, right? And I don't know about you, but if I've lost my sense of self, my sense of connection to myself, it is highly likely that I'm going to be feeling like shit when I'm alone with myself. In fact, just the idea of it might be scary. I don't even want to try. And you add to this our attachment styles, like anxious avoidant, and we've got one hell of a recipe that makes taking the risk of being alone feel a lot scarier, a lot less likely to try to step away from the relationship then, right? So then we want to split up and find ourselves. And you've been there, right? I sure as hell have. And unlike in Eat, Pray, Love, I didn't have a publisher paying me to go do that. So it was even harder to take the leap. It feels really scary when we don't have a strong connection to who we are as a foundation, as our internal safety net, especially when we've been putting our sense of safety and emotional well-being in the hands of someone else, and someone that apparently wasn't so skilled at it and with whom we were likely not at our best either, right? So we want out, but it's important to remember that if we leave and just move on without addressing the codependency and all that, we're likely going to see the same old patterns arise in a different relationship in the next one. So what can we do? And a big first step is through self-inquiry about our default patterns. And I'll go more into that. But I want to also emphasize that I'm not saying that if we do this work, that it'll all work out and that you'll stay in the relationship. But what I am saying is that whatever we decide will at least be from a more emotionally aligned place if we're doing this work. So let's dive into why we gloss over the red flags and why shit goes sideways, okay? So one of the main reasons shit goes sideways is we have our default patterns of being in relationship and they come from a wounded place and we want to heal it. So we actually look for scenarios where we can play that out. We might even create it again so we can give it another go. And I've learned a lot about this through work with my trauma therapist, Star, and Ruby, when I was at my wit's end in my relationship again. So we might want to ask, what forms our default patterns? What makes up the way we show up in relationships? And it often stems from our early childhood experiences, which makes sense, right? Because like we're literally built to assess what the world around us is like at that age and what we need to do and how we need to be to survive and make sure we're not left alone. So in a way, we're acting from our insecurities that we develop as we take in the world and try to make sense of it. And when we're hurt because we're children and developmentally egocentric, not egocentric in the Buddhist sense, but in the developmental sense, we interpret painful things that happen as because of who we are, that we must have screwed up or that we're fundamentally flawed somehow. And that's where our default comes from. Let's take a minute to just pause and appreciate this. So let's get out of our heads and this understanding of, oh yes, childhood development phase and the egocentric perspective. And rather, let's bring up that image of you at 5 years old or 3 years old or 8 years old or whatever age a lot of these key painful events occurred. And imagine that this little child will assume that because these painful things are happening, it's because of them, not because their parents overworked or tired or stressed out or suffering from depression or PTSD or is deeply suffering themselves as a parent who's also an individual and an imperfect human, as we all are, but that this little child thinks something is wrong with them as the little child. And if you're having a hard time with this, imagine a kid you know at that age right now in the present day and think of how they would respond if the same things would be happening to them. Because there's no other option, right? As children, our brains are meant to do that, to make it about who we are so that we can learn and be safe and protect ourselves. And I feel like when we take this perspective of what that must have been like for us at that age, it can crack us open, the tenderness we feel in connecting with the pain of this child. So here we are, vulnerable, deserving, and literally needing love and attention and understanding and to be seen and heard. And it doesn't happen, or it happens imperfectly in a way that is deeply painful. And we develop our way of being in relationships so we can survive. Because we've learned we can't count on that other person to do it for us, to give it to us. Then in our current relationship, when things are falling apart or seeming to fall apart, our main goal is to heal this. And we want and need to be heard, to be understood, to not be abandoned, to be seen, to be able to express our emotions. Yet we show up in relationship feeling unworthy, unlovable, never good enough. So this is when things fall apart, when we're coming from our insecurities, when we're trying to heal our wounds and recreating the dysfunctional dynamic in order to do so. I have a friend that's super into going light in the alpine zone. You know, the whole light is fast and fast is safe thing in climbing. Not to mention going light's way more comfortable than a 60 plus pound pack. But he said, this is Roman Dial, and he said, we pack for our insecurities. So like, my husband is way confident in his abilities. So he's like willing to go paddling with a leak in his dry suit or do an expedition with a pack that's like broken straps or have really old crampons or a sleeping pad. He's not sure if it has a leak in it or not, so that he can go away light and bringing less gear. I mean, I remember on one of our first dates, he was like, oh, this couloir is really easy. I figured we'd just share this pair of crampons and you could wear one and I could wear one. So anyway, I hate being cold. So my pack has way more warm layers. I double bag shit since I assume not if my boat will flip, but when. And I test my sleeping pad beforehand because I hate being cold and not being able to sleep if it leaks and deflates. But food stress is where I have a leg up from my husband. So I like to plan my meals in detail so I don't bring too much. Like, there's a formula you can use for how many pounds of food per day you'll need. And I'll like weigh it if it's a trip where weight matters. But my husband just kind of throws in a bunch of stuff and brings like days of extra food and comes back with like a whole sack full still. So we pack for our insecurities, right? And I feel like we're in relationships from our insecurities in the same way. We negotiate, we scan and filter experiences and our partner's behavior. We relate from that place, our insecurities, to validate our default patterning created from our early childhood experiences. We tolerate based on this too. We don't notice red flags, don't enforce boundaries or even make boundaries. Like for me, I scan for where people will let me down since I have a story that I can't rely on people. So I see in big, bold, red letters when someone has let me down, but I miss the ways they don't. And nowadays, I make a very intentional effort to see these things, to see the other side. But especially when not in alignment, I forget and the default mode steps in. So I want to mention a few other related things that can contribute to us ignoring red flags. We tend to overlook red flags when we have our happiness and stability riding on the relationship succeeding. And this is particularly powerful when we have given up friendships, hobbies, passions for this other person. We can often also confuse compassion with codependency. We think we're just being nice by overlooking something when really we're creating a pattern that will perpetuate dependence on one another as we lose our ziji, lose our radiant inner confidence, and have our world center around the other person, thinking we're coming from a compassionate heart and doing so. But it's actually codependency. We might also have a belief that when we love someone and they love us, that it means they get to act however they want and that we have to stick with them through it. Because if we really love them, it means we tolerate anything. And by the way, this, in my opinion, unhealthy belief can be one where we believe we can act however we want and the other person has to be okay with it too, right? So we dismiss red flags as something that we just need to tolerate because we love them. But this then negates loving ourselves, which, dear one, must come first. Not in a selfish way, but in a knowing we're worthy of love and that we cannot truly give clean love, healthy love, until we know our worthiness in our bones. There's so many reasons why we dismiss red flags. So I want you to know you're not alone and you're not crazy for doing it or having done it. I just feel like when we understand why we do it, it can be very empowering, actually, because we can see where we can make different choices, right? So ideally, our relationships do offer us a place to heal this pattern and make it healthy. And in therapy, we use the term corrective relationship. It's a safe relationship that has an opportunity to heal these attachment wounds, right? The wounds many of us are suffering from. Like, wouldn't it be nice to have an intentional new default pattern to dance in while in relationship? And this includes things like having boundaries, enforcing boundaries, and respecting boundaries. And red flags are signs that this isn't happening or that our boundaries are at risk of being broken in a way that doesn't feel safe. This healing and these corrective relationships can also happen with our spiritual mentors, elders, coaches, therapists, close friends. And it's a chance for us to be our authentic selves without being hurt. And yet we often choose people to be in relationship with who don't create that environment, right? Or maybe we don't even necessarily choose the relationship in some cases, like in work relationships or siblings, but we're often not with people with whom we can authentically be ourselves and not be hurt. So here we have an opportunity. We don't have to run away right away, although we certainly can. We can also choose to use it as an opportunity to heal how we show up for ourselves. So we might think, wow, intellectually, I know better, but why do I keep doing this, acting like this? Why does this keep happening, playing out this way, the same blowouts, the same arguments, the same old shit? We're attempting to heal this. There are still beliefs we have that underneath all this, we're unlovable or not good enough for the relationship. This is when we miss the red flags. This is when we loop in the same painful patterns. This is when we tolerate suffering instead of leaning into it and having the courage to shift it. I want to invite us to reflect on when we saw those red flags. Often, really, it's also when we felt them, right? We feel something in our body. Maybe our chest gets tight, our breath gets more shallow. We feel a whoosh. We feel our heart race. We feel jittery. What was happening in us when we ignored it? What was the default pattern and really the default belief or beliefs that were running in the back of our mind or at the forefront when we chose to ignore it? That we aren't worthy of asking about it or letting them know it's worrisome, that it's not really that big of a deal because we aren't worthy of expecting more, that we aren't lovable, so it makes sense that they act that way or are treating us like that, that we did something to deserve it, that we can't just trust our instinct because we need more than that in order to demand we be treated with respect and dignity. And please be gentle with this. Know that this is the story we created when we had less power, less autonomy, less ziji. We were literally little. And now we get to rewrite the story. We get to see the red flags and say, bye, Felicia, right? So what to do if we're in a relationship already after having ignored the red flags? Well, that's for next week's episode, my friends. So sorry, it was just too much to put into one. But next week, we'll dive into what we can do when we're in it, even after ignoring the red flags, okay? Yeah, ask me how I know about that one. So I hope that in understanding why we may have ignored them in the past, that this can help you see that we have choice, we have agency, even now in the present moment, for taking our power back. So until next week, my friends. And hey, come join us in Freedom School. Go to joinfreedomschool.com because this month is all about mastering emotional wellness. And I would love to see you in there, okay? Take care. If you like what you heard, please spread the love and share it. And if you know you need some help with this and want to learn more about how to free your mind and free your life, go to rebelbuddhist.com and grab my free Rebel Buddhist Toolkit, where you'll receive a video training on cultivating resilience, access to the private Rebel Buddhist group where I do weekly live sessions on topics just like this, and a copy of the gorgeous Rebel Buddhist Manifesto, and more for free. That's rebelbuddhist.com.